Gillette's best blades can save you up to 50% versus the other Shave Club's $9 per month plan. That's right, close, comfortable, smooth, and up to 50% off versus the other Shave Club. Join today at GilletteShaveClub.ca.
Ryan Dixon and Rory Boylan host Tape to Tape, the hockey podcast by Sportsnet.
For Val Nichushkin, who has a goal already here in this second period. It's the difference in the game right now, but it's off his stick. Answer from Armia back the other way. Armia now for Bufflin. Bufflin tries to force it to the front. They score! Andrew Ladd shorthanded. Andrew Ladd, 17th of the season. He is one of the seven guys that already had a shorthanded goal.
Standing ovation here for Ladd. They know what the deal is.
Yep.
He came from somewhere back in how long ago. The sound of every fool.
Welcome to Tape to Tape. T2T. I'm Ryan Dixon. I am a writer for Sportsnet magazine and Sportsnet.ca. Sitting to my left, senior NHL producer for Sportsnet.ca. Wondering if the phone call is going to come. It's Rory Boylan.
Let's call it Trade to Trade this week.
Trade to
T2T.
I like it. Yeah, you heard one name off the top there, Mr. Ladd. Certainly his name has factored heavily into trade talk. We're just a few days before the deadline, so of course we're going to talk about the deadline. We're also going to talk about where you can find Tape to Tape. You can subscribe on iTunes anytime you feel like it. You can also follow Rory on Twitter at Rory Boylan. You can follow me on Twitter at Dixon on Sports. Another guy you should follow on Twitter, Luke Fox Jukebox. Nice handle. We're going to have Luke Fox on to talk a little trade. He is, of course, Sportsnet's NHL editor. We're going to go around the bases, talk a little Bruins, talk a little Oilers, maybe some Big Joe. I don't know, Rory, where should we start? You know what? We have ignored the Bruins all year, and they're kind of an interesting team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know if they would be in the same position they are in the East if they were a Western Conference team, but I don't know. To me, I was surprised that they, like most people, I think that they didn't make the playoffs last year. I thought they were better than that.
You're better than that.
You're better. But, you know, to me, it's whenever you have a goalie like a Tuukka Rask, and then you have a pretty experienced core around him, some productive players. I mean, Louis Erickson, who might get traded, is having a really, really
finally
good...
making that trade not look too like Pichirelli.
Yeah, this is what they probably expected to get from him.
Yeah, even if Chiarelli's
the
not
time.
There anymore, he must be like, all right, look, that trade wasn't terrible, okay?
Yeah, but like you have Marchand, who's scoring outrageously.
Oh my God, I got him in the pool, over 30.
I wish I had him, and I mean, you have your Bergeron, you have your Krejci, you have, you know, there's Chara's not what he was.
There's still the bones of a great, a Stanley Cup winning team, which is what they were.
So would you be surprised then if they went to the East Final even?
You know what?
I wouldn't be.
No, I will couch that with there's basically no team that I wouldn't say.
Yeah.
Oh for sure they won't win two rounds. But you're right. I don't know if we're still allowed to talk about this in 2016, but they are a savvy intangibles kind of. They know some players have a nose for the net. The Bruins have a nose for a W. I mean, when Patrice Bergeron is on your team. When, you know, smart guys like David Krejci making up for some of the stupid things Marchand does, but it doesn't matter now because he's a crazy sniper.
Yeah.
Yes, you look at the Bruins and they're savvy, right?
Wouldn't want to play them in the first round.
Yeah, they've been there, done that team.
Yeah,
right?
There are some other teams I wouldn't mind playing, like the Islanders. I wouldn't be scared of the Islanders.
Sure.
Boston's not a team I would want to play. So then, going into the deadline, how do you deal with
this
as the general manager? Like, we'll talk about this later with Luke, but one of the responses I got on Twitter looking for questions was a Bruins fan asking what the Bruins should do and if trading Erickson was even a foregone conclusion. I mean, you are in the playoffs and it's not unrealistic to think you could make it to the East Final. And if you make it to the East Final, hey, you could easily make it to the Stanley Cup Final too if you're that close.
Sure.
So I mean, but you can't go in with that expectation. You don't have the same expectations as a Washington or, dare I say, a Florida. Not as a you don't have the same expectations as a Tampa. So how do you approach this at the deadline? Do you think they have to trade Louis Erickson, or should they keep him and try and sign him and go on a run with him?
Well, and he's a guy, too, who I think he'd be. I mean, he's 30 now. He's in 85, so he'll be 31 this year. I mean, depending on what his ask is, I do think he's a guy you might push to keep in the fold for the next 5 years, you know, assuming he's not asking for an 8-year deal at this point, right?
But you only have a couple of days to figure that out.
You do. But I'm saying I would check in now and I might make a pretty serious offer now. Or I would say, you know what, we'll keep this guy. He's really helping us this year. And if push comes to shove, we'd be willing to capitulate a little more to his ask because we really like, you know, prior to coming to Boston and getting that concussion, he was a guy who'd never missed games for like 4 years and put up his 25 to 30, right?
So. Yeah, and I kind of think Boston, because they had 3 first-round picks last year, like they're a team that can kind of afford to trade maybe some, not necessarily a first, but some of those other draft picks to get, you know, a rental player or some kind of a depth player to give them an edge, because sometimes you need to be careful of giving too many of those away and not going too hard for something that's really not that realistic, not putting too many of your chips in. But you just picked 3 players in the first round of the draft last year, so you kind of have some house money here, you know? So you might as well. It's a tough one. Like, you don't need a big trade. You shouldn't. I would be very scared to trade away a Louis Erickson right now if I was him. I'd be maybe looking to add a little bit of depth just to try and push this, kick the can down the road a little bit more and try and get as much out of this roster as you can, because Chara doesn't have that much time left. Exactly. So as soon as he's gone, that's a huge hole on your defense.
Well, the guy who built that team, Pete Chiarelli, is now in Edmonton. I don't know if you've been paying attention, but things have not been going super well there for a little while. Chiarelli hired coach Todd McClellan, and Todd McClellan sounds like he's kind of getting to his breaking point.
Right now I'm really disappointed, obviously. It doesn't get any easier ahead of us. I'm concerned about the spirit of our team. I think there's a lot of guys waiting for something. What that is, I don't know. If it's changes coming, if it's them leaving, if it's new guys coming in, that's a dangerous, dangerous thing. Maybe we get rid of some players. There are some that should be embarrassed when they leave. I have a huge concern because the spirit of the team isn't where it needs to be. And, you know, just individually, as a group, there has to be 10 guys in there that have so much pride they pull the rest of the guys along. You know, we'll see what happens over the next 7 days. Maybe there's some guys waiting for that. I don't know. But it's got to get better, or we got to make huge, huge changes.
It's got to get better.
You know, 2 things. I feel like we're going to hear that some guys should be embarrassed leaving here clip again on Tape to Tape, maybe at the end of the show. We'll see. The other thing, you know what, it struck me was how he said, I feel like he gave real insight into the way coaches think. Like, I think when coaches are at the, you know, at the hotel lobby bar talking about what they need, do you hear him say you need 10 guys in there showing the rest of the team? Like that, I bet you that's what coaches say, is that, just give me 10, you know, that's what I need. Out of 18, what do you got, 12 forwards, 6 D and a goalie. Just give me 10 guys and if we got 10, we can work with something. And right now, it sounds like Todd McClellan thinks they maybe have 2 or 3.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same old Oilers, right? It's tougher than you think to break out of that cycle of losing. It's that culture that, I mean, Todd McClellan coming in from San Jose is supposed to be the guy to kind of break them out of this, and he's not going to do it necessarily in year one. It's not a failure if he doesn't do it in year one, obviously, but it's the same old Oilers. It's the same lackluster efforts, lack of defense. I mean, you're getting some good performances from Taylor Hall and Leon Draisaitl, and of course, Connor McDavid, who is the reason you tune into those games. But like we've talked about a lot, like the player's going to sense something is coming. I get the sense something is coming. It's got to be coming, right? Like,
I hope they're right.
Not only are you a losing team, but you have to have this sense that this isn't the team. We're not going to have the same group of guys for very much longer, right? There's going to be some turnover, some big change coming, whether it's at the deadline or at the draft. I can't imagine them going into next season without making a fairly big move, whether it's their first round pick or whether it's a player off of their roster to get a defenseman or get something
even
that they need.
Even multiple players. Like, if they traded Nugent Hopkins and Eberle at this point, would you really be surprised? I mean, obviously it depends on the return, but you'd clear so much salary and you'd have McDavid, Draisaitl as your 1-2 with Taylor Hall, one of the best left wingers in hockey.
Yep.
That's three of your top six forwards. You know, can you find a couple more along the way? And, I mean, what return would trading those two guys do for your blue line and, you know?
And Chiarelli has experience trading young players, right? He traded Tyler Seguin off to the Dallas Stars as the Bruins GM. Didn't work out so well, so I'm sure he wants to be really careful with what he does here. And that's the thing. He has some time. Like, he doesn't need to do this now before the trade deadline. He can wait and do it around the draft when a lot of these bigger deals tend to happen. And then you might also have a first or second overall pick in your arsenal at that time too, that you could trade off or use. It's something is coming here in Edmonton. I would no longer trade Draisaitl. I would no longer trade McDavid. I would never have traded McDavid. Taylor Hall is the one to me that's kind of tricky. I would hesitate to trade. But Eberle, I would. Definitely.
You would hesitate to trade Hall, but he would bring a boatload.
But if I traded Hall, I would like to look at that trade at the end of it and say, well, that's why they traded Taylor Hall. I would have done that, absolutely.
Well, speaking of trades, and one's, in retrospect, a bit of a head-scratcher. Not in retrospect, in the moment, a head-scratcher. Pop quiz, who's the only guy to be traded during the middle of an MVP season? I think I have this right.
Is that Marty St. Louis?
Oh, it's Big Joe. 10 years ago, little more than, it was November 2005. It's now February 2016. Big Joe went from the Boston Bruins to the San Jose Sharks. Now, in fairness to the Bruins, God, with that extra salary cap room, remember that was the first year of the new era, they were able to go out and sign Zdeno Chara. They hitched their wagon to that guy, and they have a Stanley Cup to show for it. So things worked out all right.
Yeah.
But at the time, you got that Wayne Primeau, Brad Stewart, Marco Sturm return, I think is what it was. But yeah, Big Joe went to San Jose. No cups, as we know, and some strained relationships at times. But good God, you look at it here, 10 years later, Joe Thornton is still just clipping along, 39 points in his past 29 games. Is he the epitome of a guy who we shouldn't even bother with the never won a championship conversation and just appreciate, you know, what a talent and what a legacy and consistency this guy has demonstrated?
I think so, absolutely. He's probably the most underappreciated player of this generation. I mean, he's like you say, he's so consistent. You know what you're going to get out of Joe Thornton. And just because he's never won a cup, kind of has this bad rap, this reputation around him. But I mean, if you look at the points that he's produced in the last number of playoffs, like he's been productive. 12 points in 15 games, 17 and 18, 5 and 5, 10 and 11. Like, and it's not him.
Wins faceoffs, is defensively, you know, sound. Like, it's not like he's going out there and getting you. And like, I feel like to some degree people have thought of him as like the big Mike Ribeiro. That's not,
No. He's such a driver of play. It's so hard to get the puck off of him. I mean, his passing is sublime. It's probably been a while since we've had a guy who could pass the puck like Joe Thornton, and he can just work it from wherever because you can't knock him off the puck. He's so big. But at the same time, he's the player I would most love to see win the Stanley Cup now.
Yeah.
I mean, it would just
ahead
be
of Ovechkin.
So. Ovechkin's got time. Yeah, so I think so. Thornton, I wouldn't want him to go off as into the sunset as the Dan Marino type.
Right.
That's a perfect
analogy, isn't it?
Yeah, I would like to see him win. It would just be, I feel like I've been defending Joe Thornton for so many years to people who, you know, oh, he's never won a cup, so, you know, he can't be that good. I would just like to see him win the cup, so it's just finally there. Now what can you say against this guy? And it's not entirely fair maybe in the old days where there were 6 and 12 teams
in
the league.
That's
like
right.
Now there's 30 teams.
Yeah, and the only two who win are Chicago and LA.
Yeah, it's not the end of the world if you... It's not career defining if you win a Stanley Cup or not, because a lot of it has to do with the team around you.
Absolutely.
When there's 30 teams.
Well, speaking of the team, strong member of the Sportsnet team coming up. It's Luke Fox, NHL editor for Sportsnet.ca. We're going to talk a little trade.
What does the Fox say?
With Luke DeJuke next on Tape to Tape.
This is Joe Thornton of St. Thomas, Ontario.
Cheesiest pickup line you've ever used.
Are you from 10? You're the only 10 I see.
What the fuck?
What is that like? Are you from 10 I see?
You're from Tennessee.
You're the only 10 I see.
What
yeah.
the fuck say? No.
Welcome back.
What does the fox say?
The Tape to Tape. Time to find out what the fox says. Luke Fox, NHL editor. For Sportsnet.ca, that is for sure your best intro, right?
Yeah, I think so. I was worried there what were you going to say there.
Well, Luke's a music man, too, so I'm sure as soon as those beats hit, he was like, I knew where this was going. But yeah, big props to Emil in the booth for coming up with that one. So what does the Fox say when it comes to the trade deadline? Hey, let me just throw this one at you off the top of my head, so it means it's coming at you from left field, too. Any, like, bombshells? I mean, we've been talking about Stahl, Ladd, all the names we've been beating around. Do you – I won't make you give me a name right now, but do you think there will be a out-of-the-blue what-the-hell trade?
I hope so, just to make it a little more interesting. I think maybe the – realistically, the closest thing might have already happened, and that was the FNUF deal. Because I mean, we knew the Leafs wanted to get rid of him, but that just seemed to come out of nowhere. That all of a sudden it got finalized. That might end up being the biggest bombshell of the year. But if there is going to be one in the next five days, I think it'll come from Edmonton. Although, if I was a betting man, I'd say the major deals would come at the draft. For the Oilers, but I'm sure you guys saw Tom McClellan's press conference, and that is a coach on tilt right now. His comments were, they were pretty severe, saying that guys needed to get out. So it's almost as if he's putting pressure on his GM, and of course, Shirelli's going to take a calmer approach to things. And
Really?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, you know what it is with Shirelli is he's probably a little battle scarred from Tyler Seguin deal, right?
Yeah.
So he's like, you know, I've already dealt away one young forward before he really hit his prime. I got to be careful here and get equal value for, you know, Nugent Hopkins, Eberle, Hall, Yakupov, whatever one or two of these guys he actually deals. But I mean, it's getting to the point where he has to get rid of one or two of them. No, because the defense is so poor. There's no balance on that team.
Now,
ridiculous.
As far as the Oilers go, and we've talked so much about the Oilers on this show, and just we're really looking forward to the day they do decide to move one of these guys, because it's got to happen, especially if they get the number one overall pick again this year, and you're going to be picking Austin Matthews with that pick. Maybe it's the pick that they choose. But as far as the players on the roster right now, is there somebody you wouldn't trade? Like, is it Taylor Hall untouchable? Has Leon Draisaitl made himself untouchable?
I think we know the one exception, right? We don't even
have to say. Yeah, we don't even need to mention.
I think we know the guy. No, I don't think Taylor Hall is untouchable. I would have said that a year ago or even half a year ago. But when was the last season he didn't get hurt for a bit? You know, his defensive game is still questionable. Yes, he's a talented scorer, one of the better offensive wingers in the game. But you're going to have to, at some point, you're going to have to give up value to get value. People don't just give away good defensemen. So you might have to part with a Taylor Hall. Like, what? Why not? Listen, I don't think he's untouchable.
So let's stay in Alberta. There's lots of talk about Chris Russell, bit of a polarizing guy if you pay attention to both analytics and traditional hockey observers, I guess. What do you think the fate of Chris Russell is out west?
I think he's gone. I think that's based purely on economics. From everything I've read or heard Brad Treliving speak, he's in love with the guy. Like, teams love, you know, despite the analytics, teams love guys who are willing to block shots, and they you know, balances out their defense because they have the speedy puck moving guys. They want to stay at home. Guy like Chris Russell, by all accounts, he's great in the room, all that good stuff that coaches and GMs love, but they just have too much tied up in the defense, like with Hamilton, Giordano, TJ Brody. So they can't afford another big ticket, and he's never going to get more than he is this summer on the open market, Russell. So he's got to set a high price, and it just doesn't work economically for them. So I think they cut him, and I think I think they trade him, and I think they should. If you remember 2 years ago, they really liked Mike Camilleri, and he was a pending UFA, and they were not a playoff team, and they didn't trade him, and then he left for New Jersey as a free agent. And they got nothing back for one of their best players at that time. So I think, you know, they've learned their lesson, and I think they'll trade him. They don't want to, but I think just economically it won't work, and he will be traded.
We're recording this on a Wednesday before the trade deadline on Monday, and I don't think between now and then Calgary is going to solve its goaltending problem, but do you think there's a chance they do something in the next few days to address that? But assuming they don't, where do you see that hole, black hole, going?
I don't think they do in the next couple of days. I mean, I could be wrong. I think, you know, there's a few goalies who could be available in the summer. James Reimer, if he doesn't re-sign. Cam Ward, who had a great game last night. He, you know, despite all his flaws, he still may be in the top 30 goalies in the league. So he'll be available, and he'll be cheaper than he's costing Carolina right now. Frederick Anderson might not be long for Anaheim. So Calgary is the one team that doesn't have a goalie under contract, like a legit NHL goalie under contract for next season. But there's plenty of time to work that out. So I would be surprised if they address that right now. I think maybe you might see a team try and scramble and get a rental backup. But the Flames, I would be surprised if they were in those talks, and I think it would be more something off-season. But there's a few guys out there they could grab. I don't expect they'll re-sign Hiller either, but I don't know if teams are calling on Hiller. Like, do you really want Jonas Hiller right now?
No. Well, let's move on to the next team, who also has a goalie potentially available out there, the Toronto Maple Leafs, the worst team to watch play this year. It's just a wasteland. And we can expect it to get, you know, potentially worse after the deadline. Totally expect them to move guys like P.A. Parentos and Daniel Winnick and Peter Holland maybe, and all these kind of fringe guys. But there are two players in particular I wanted to ask you about. One is Nazem Kadri, who's going to be an RFA at the end of the season. And then the other is James Reimer. He's going to be a UFA. I mean, he's the better goalie, so do you try and keep him? And if you can't sign him between now and the deadline, I mean, do you have to trade him? Or what do you think is going to happen with those two guys specifically on the Leafs?
I think they're both good questions. I think they keep Kadri. I could be wrong. I could be falling for this. You know, they pumped up Phaneuf and then dealt him. They've been pumping up Kadri. I was actually at the game last night, and, you know, the Leafs are horrible to watch, and the fans are relatively disinterested. The loudest cheer of the night came from the reversal on the coach's challenge to make it 3-0 instead of 4-0. So that tells you a lot. But Kadri was giving the old 105, 110%. He laid a hit on Philip Forsberg. You know, he was trying to make an impact. He was trying to make plays.
Maybe he just wants to get out.
maybe he wants to get out. I think he genuinely likes it here.
Yep.
You know, I'd be surprised if behind the scenes he wants to get out. Now, the flip side of that is he's one of the only chips the Leafs have of real value. You know, like, what are you really going to get for P.A. Parenteau, right? Like, second rounder.
Your 13th pick of 2016, but how high is it going to be?
Like if they want anything of value, that, you know, then a guy like Kadri or who knows, maybe even Gardner or someone is in play. But I think he stays. I think he stays another year. And I think the fact that he didn't have a breakout year points-wise, you know, as much as Babcock seems to love him and his all-around games improved, the fact that he didn't have a breakout year points-wise will probably help the Leafs keep his price down a bit. I'd hate to see them commit long-term to him, but maybe something in 4 years, 3 years.
Right. I want to move on to another Eastern team. We asked for some questions on Twitter last night, and we had one follower, Blake, respond asking about the Bruins, whether or not they should blow it up or if they should try to make the right pieces to kind of make a push, and is it a foregone conclusion that they have to trade Louis Erickson before the deadline? What are your thoughts on the Bruins?
My thoughts is they should. I'm not sure they will. Because I think, you know, there is pressure to make it back in the playoffs. And I think that they'd make the cut even if they did trade him. But I think that they need to be realistic. And Boston is not the team coming out of the East. You know, that, you know, they're bottom tier playoff team at best, that I would think. You know, you got to favor the Capitals and then maybe the Lightning, Rangers, Islanders. I think it's one of those things like just – it doesn't sound like they have the room to re-sign him. And so he'll walk for nothing. So I think they should deal him away and just be realistic about what they are, which is kind of a middle-of-the-pack team. I'd rather see them get rid of Erickson. And I would even place Erickson's value ahead of Andrew Ladd's and Bodker's and Eric Staal's. He's, you know, maybe less of a name, but he's scoring at a much better rate this year. Like, if you want to pick up a score, a guy with a real nose for the net to make your playoff push, like, as a rental, I think Louis Erickson should be the number one forward there in terms of rental.
We'll do a quick speed round. Luke, we'll just throw names out, and I guess you give us your gut on where he might land.
Or if he'll land anywhere.
I guess. There's some of these guys may not. But in Canada, one of the ones being talked about most is left winger Andrew Ladd.
Florida over Chicago.
I like it.
Oh, Rory just
yeah. the Dale Talon connection, but I think also it would just be an easier deal for them to work in terms of cap space than the Blackhawks.
Right.
But I heard Stan Bowman was at the Jets game last night. Anyway, go ahead.
Then the next one, it's kind of a two for out of Carolina. Not that they would go together, but they're both kind of been mentioned. The Staal brothers, Eric, and then Jordan, even.
Yeah, I'd love to see them actually trade Jordan. I'd love to see Ron Francis make a deal that isn't just dumping Eric Staal or dumping Cam Ward. Now the team that keeps popping up most for Eric is the Rangers, and it's probably the best fit because it sounds like they're going to go for it. His cap hit is ridiculously high, though. Yeah. So there is a chance he can't be moved.
Last one we'll give you isn't a name of a player, but a team, Vancouver.
Blow it up. Get rid of and anyone who wants your players, get rid of them. Verbot is gone. I would be shocked if he's hanging around. Hamhuis is a bit of a different story because he has the no trade and he's a BC guy and he seems to really like it there. In that case, I'd say trade him. Didn't need to have a conversation with him. We're going to trade you, rent you off to a contending team who wants a decent defenseman, and we'll re-sign. If you love it so much, why don't you re-sign as a free agent on July 1, pull the old Antoine Vermette with him.
Sure. Yannick Hansen too, I guess, maybe another guy.
Yeah.
Heading out, yeah.
Yeah, because I think his value has been pumped up just by playing on the Sedins. That's probably swelled his numbers. So if people want him, get rid of him.
I think we'd be missing something if the Vancouver Canucks didn't trade a goalie.
Yes.
It would be
a deadline. Deadline wouldn't be deadline day. Well, we'll see what the coming days bring. Luke, we certainly appreciate your insight. Thanks for dropping in and sharing some thoughts.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
That is Luke Fox, NHL editor for Sportsnet.ca. You can follow his work just about daily on the website. Everything from power rankings to
rumor roundups.
Yeah, stuff we talked about today. Good old-fashioned rumors. Coming up next, a little in-house AMA. Stick around for that. It's going to be fun. The last segment of Tape to Tape just around the corner.
What does the fox say?
I give that the finger wag. Come on.
Denied.
No.
Come on, man.
It's the Tape to Tape AMA. Ask Ryan and Rory anything.
What? Welcome back to Tape to Tape. Yes, we are officially at the Ask Us Anything segment and filling the role of question asker. Out of the booth, into the starting lineup, producer Sam McKee.
Oh, yeah.
He is ready to rock with his apparently all-over-the-place questions that we really have no insight to what they're going to relate to. So, do you want to just fire away?
I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Are these specifically for one person?
No, they're for both you guys.
We have to buzz in?
No, they're not. And they're opinion questions. They're not like yes or no questions.
Okay.
So, I'm going to start off with this year's phenom, Connor McDavid. Who will finish their career with more points, Sidney Crosby or Connor McDavid?
Connor.
Yeah, because Sidney's missed so much time that I think the safer bet is on Connor McDavid, even though he's the safer bet? Yeah, well, I think so.
Yeah, I mean, Connor got injured this year, but it was more of a freak injury than Crosby's kind of lingering concussion.
Yeah, sorry, I guess I forgot the fact that he's missed 2 months already. But yeah, that's right. I mean, Crosby missed essentially, I don't want to say a chunk of his career, but like, he didn't play hockey there for a little while.
Yeah.
He's also on, well, yeah, the more I'm working through this,
he's got like an 800-point lead.
Yeah, I wonder how early Crosby retires because of if concussions come up again, if that cuts his career a little short too. I mean, McDavid just started, so safe bet. I mean, what's the safe bet here? But I think because he doesn't have the concussion, that's to me the reason I would pick McDavid is he doesn't have the concussion problems. But he's also, I don't know, is he ever going to have the like 102, 120, 103, 109 point seasons that Crosby had at the beginning
of his. That was actually my first thought was Connor McDavid is coming in at a tougher time because we're always used to talking about Crosby in the context of, well, when Gretzky played, they scored a jillion, and it's true, but when Sidney Crosby broke into the league, penalties were getting called left, right, and center, and people were getting 100
now,
points, whereas...
You have to think, too, and sometime in the next 20 years, there's going to be some kind of rule change.
I'm sticking with McDavid.
All right. Who is more likely to play in Toronto next season? Jose Bautista or Steven Stamkos?
So are you saying, let's say, in Toronto next season?
Well, Jose Bautista is going to play 2016 in Toronto.
Yeah, 2017.
Right. So at the end of his contract, I would say Steven Stamkos.
Stamkos, yeah. I don't think they're going to give that money to Bautista.
It's crazy, but
wow, that is a hot.
They have other bats in that lineup. They don't need to. I think they'll invest in. They have Donaldson, right? They're gonna.
Wow.
I mean, I don't think it's a huge possibility that or a likelihood that Stamkos is going to come. But if he becomes a free agent, you better believe that the Leafs are going to throw all that money at him.
It's more prudent to give that money to Stamkos than $30 million a year to a guy who's going to be crowding 40
It's more likely that Stamkos gets an offer from a Toronto team that meets his demands than Bautista would from a Toronto team that meets his current demands or reported demands, I guess.
Whose word do you take on that? But those numbers are ridiculous.
Yeah, they're out of control.
It's completely out of control.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know what? Like, I'm all for the modern way of thinking and getting on board with the athlete and saying, well, it's his one chance or whatever. Maximize, yada, yada, yada. Come on, man. These guys picked you off the scrap heap and gave you a chance. And when
that's my kind of
when
take
that
on
deal,
too.
When they struck that last deal, that was a risk on both sides.
Big time.
So to stand there and look at the camera and make that sour face and just be like, well, obviously I'm going to do this. Well, obviously you could say, hey, this has been a nice little spot for me.
Yes.
I made a ton of dough. You know, maybe we can at least talk instead of here. Anyway, that's my thought on that.
Baseball takes. Like it. When you guys enter the fine establishment that is McDonald's, what do you order?
Six-piece McNugget combo, and it, full disclosure, the last time I went was on a walk home from seeing a Clapton tribute band. I was too ashamed to tell my wife I even stopped, so hopefully she doesn't listen. It was at midnight, and they screwed up the order. I got home, and it was someone's burger.
So
we'll see if this gets back to her to see if she actually does listen.
Mine is the classic Big Mac combo, but you must get it with the chocolate shake instead of the pop.
Wow.
Definitely. Interesting. Definitely. And yeah, I hit it up. I work until late in the evening, so I usually hit it on the way home in the drive through in midnight and I'm like, sitting there,
Yeah, I know. It's such a horrible, guilty feeling.
It is a physical feeling at this point.
Like
even in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
And let's put it this way. Whenever I'm eating at McDonald's, there's two bad feelings usually I could be feeling in the morning from things I've been doing. And I actually feel like the McDonald's kind of outweighs the libations.
Yeah, it's
like,
true.
It really lasts.
It's always the best idea when you're doing it. Then as soon as you're done, it's like, why did I do this again? Why did I do this to myself?
At the upcoming World Cup, Canada are clearly the heavy favorites. But if there's any team that was going to upset them, what team would it be?
Can I plug something right now?
Do it.
I'm going to the World Championship to do a story on, you know, the... So the Russians have actually not done well at best-on-best tournaments. They've done well at World Championship and still showing well at the World Junior, but in the Olympic era, they haven't won a gold. If you go back to, like, the World Cup, they gagged the last World Cup. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe they're due. Like, maybe it's Russia's time to ride some of those awesome players and win one of these best-on-best.
I'm torn between the Swedes and the Americans, but I kind of lean towards the Americans because the whole tournament's on North American soil, and whatever side of the ocean you're on, those teams tend to do better, even though these are NHLers and they're always here and everything, but that tends to be the case. And the Americans have... I really think that Young
Finland?
Stars team is going to... Yeah, Finland's a good one,
Finland,
too.
See, and they're sneaky because they're always in it. They always are on the podium.
In Sochi, I was happy to... that Canada played Sweden and not Finland. Because I feel like Finland would have been, I don't know, there's something gritty about them.
They're very Canadian in how they play.
I agree.
Yeah. Just jumping off of your Russia pick, I would pick them as like the team most likely to be upset by that Youngstars team.
Agreed, wholeheartedly.
Fifth?
Yeah.
They're not going to be bad. That Youngstars team is not going to be a bad hockey team.
I just can't get on board with this Youngstars team.
I know.
I love the Team Europe. Capital L, love.
I'm looking forward to seeing it just to see what happens, but I think by the end of it, it'll be, okay, I'm ready for a best-on-best again. Let's go back.
To just the countries aligned.
Yeah. It's going to be nice seeing Kopitar in it, though. That's the one thing.
Well, that's the only reason they made that team was to get your Kopitar into the tournament.
Absolutely.
Okay, so who's drafting first at the NHL draft this year?
I'm going to say the Leafs.
Montreal, baby.
It's time for
the NHL to have an NBA style, like Orlando comes out of nowhere with a like 8% chance and wins, you know, and drafts. I don't know if it was when they drafted Shaq or Chris Webber, but it's happened in the NBA a couple times. So I think like a team that finishes 22nd, we're going to get, as the NHL has tried to work it so that obviously it's more democratic, I guess. You know who I'd like to see? Well, I'd like to see Montreal, but Arizona. I'd love for Arizona to be able to get
that. That would be nice. I just think the Leafs are going to be... I mean, the curveball here is the new lottery, right?
Yeah, totally.
That changes everything. So course, there's so much
course,
more chance.
The first year, the Leafs are actually going to finish last.
Oh, can you imagine? Yeah. That would be so Leafs if they finish last and then lose the lottery.
They don't. The odds are they won't draft first overall, obviously, right? I mean... What about Buffalo? Maybe they're due. We're talking about this like we actually have insight, but maybe Buffalo's due after missing out on McDavid but getting Eichel.
The Leafs are just going to be so – they're already bad, but they're going to be so bad after that trade deadline.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to lose a bunch of players.
First CD you ever owned. Not even tape. CD.
CD,
literally
not like –
disc.
Wow. I think it might have been Presidents of the United States of America.
Millions of
peaches.
Wow. A chance? I think if we went back to like first album, I actually think it was LL Cool J Radio on cassette, but I think CD would have been, there's a chance it was Skid Row, to be honest with you. I was swinging through a metal phase then.
That's greasy. All right. And finally, your best personal sporting moment.
Oh, man.
Your Al Bundy moment,
Do
baby.
We have half an hour? No.
Oh, boy.
Okay, my two-pronged answer, because I know we don't have a lot of
playing
time,
on a
is,
line with me?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, dangling with Sam. When I was 11 years old, my Adam team went to the Ontario finals. So we, like, I don't know, we had to win like three playoff series to get there. And at this point, you're like traveling on the weekends. The town's like 4 hours away. So put it this way, the national anthem is getting played before the game, right? Which is like, when you're 11, forget about it.
Yeah.
And like people from your school are coming out to watch, your teachers there. We got to the final and it was essentially a 3-5, but what it really was, first to 6 points because they had to allow for ties. So teams wouldn't play forever and screw up the whole schedule of the 75 other teams I got to play. So we got a 5-1 lead, two wins and a tie, and we gagged it up and ended up losing.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was the most soul destroying, devastating thing ever to happen to an 11-year-old. But it was like, you know, I still remember like the other team after we'd won, and I'm literally laying on the ice, I think, giving the like way to go. We were from Mount Bridges, way to go Bridges. And yeah, it was like this crazy emotional roller coaster. Individual moment though, I will say I scored a shootout winner to put us, the beer league, into the men's league final. And we were like 9 deep in the shootout, and our fearless leader, Phil Jones, is like, all right, Dixon, you're up. And I pulled a dirty move. And even when I went down to do the Ilya Kovalchuk, grab some snow and throw it up, and kind of lost it when I was doing it. Yeah, that was big.
So one that sticks out for me is when I was in Adam hockey. I played in a little town called Coldwater, north of Barrie. And we would play against a team in our loop was from Beaton. And at the start of the year, like, they just kicked our asses. It wasn't even...
You could say they were beaten, yeah?
Yeah, they were beating us pretty good. And so we play them all through the season. Every time we got a little bit closer, but we never actually beat them. And then we got into the playoffs, and we were in our, like, little area, and we got to the finals where we played against Beaton, and we swept them. And I will never forget, like, it just kept getting more and more. And the game that we beat them to knock them out was an 11-3 win for us. Wow. Like, it was a complete, like, just kept making up that ground. And then we went to the All-Ontario semifinals that year, and that was pretty special, and got crushed by Halliburton.
Well, there you go. Matt Duchesne on the team?
Matt Duchesne was not on the team. No.
All right. Well, there you go, boys.
All right. Our own in-house AMA.
Woo!
Thanks to Sammy for jumping in. See, we have a lot of fun here. That's why you should subscribe on iTunes. You can follow Rory at Rory Boylan on Twitter. You can follow me, Dixon on Sports. That's all we have for you this week, but tune in next time for more Glass Rattlin' Hockey Chatter on Tape to Tape. I'm moving to the country, gonna eat a lot of peaches. I'm moving to the country, I'm gonna eat a lot of peaches. Peaches come from a can. I'm gonna eat a lot of peaches. Moving to the country, I'm gonna eat a lot of peaches.